Let me tell you what's happening here. So Satan has been using this power while we Christians have been largely ignorant. Whatever enters your mind through the senses, which means your five senses, that's how, don't be conformed. So they are shooting things at you. Build this image, right? Will impress the mind and result, it will become a mental image there, which means you start looking at it. You remember Lion King, if you watched it? And when the big lion died and Simba was there, he was playing around with all the other animals. Until the elderly monkey came and said, come here. You'll be chained today. Look at water. Can you see? He was looking. It was blood. No change happened. When he saw the face of his father clearly and saw himself, he turned around and went straight for the throne. All right? To do the impossible. I'm saying if you start seeing it, you will not even know when you start doing things that other people will be wondering that why are you boldly trying to do that kind of thing? And I'll show something here. Because as far as you're concerned, it has already been done. All right? So it says this here. I'm going on here. The experiences people therefore are a result of their environment, of chance, past thinking, that's what people are carrying, thoughts of other people. On the other hand, God wants to give us new thoughts. All right? First of all, he will reveal things to us in the Word. And then he wants these images to be formed there. And he says, listen, though with an internal process, which is called meditation, regardless of the thoughts of others, he said, look at where you are going. Regardless of the exterior conditions, regardless of the environment of every kind, all right? And it's by this exercise the Spirit is able to control, all right, our lives. Which means that, you know, what happens, you know, they asked Thomas Lipton. All right, and Harriman. Harriman said, my father was in America as a clergyman, earning only $200 a year. Thomas Lipton said, I started my business with only 25 cents. He said, but we understood the power that came through spiritual understanding. That once you understand this is what they said. They said this, you have your fixed purpose. And you are looking at that thing. They said, you don't need all those things. All those things will eventually gravitate towards you. And you begin. This is how it works. You see, people say, I'm in business. I need capital. Look. If they give you capital, it's car you will buy. You'll first say, let's relax. I'm going to meetings in London and Dubai. That's where you'll be. All right? What you need is a vision. What you need is clarity of purpose. What you need is to be seen your future. What you need is to be looking. When you do that, what happens is that things begin, all right, to gravitate, all right, towards you for the fulfillment of that. So this is how we take our lives out of chance, and the Holy Spirit is able, right, to produce things. As people sit down there and are looking at things, they sit down there, hearing the Word of God. This is what meditation is, going into the Word of God, meditating. That is what Isaac did. Sorry, and that's what Jacob did. Isaac was very rich. Look, those men could be offended. Abraham was very rich. Isaac made his own money. Abraham distributed to the sons of concubines gold, silver. Isaac said, so what's left for me? He said, I will give you the kingdom. Kingdom? He laid hands on him. He said, you have it now. It was the transference of spirits. The Holy Ghost entered him. Jacob also, he got it. He left his house in haste. No money. When there, nothing. Entered into Laban's house, nothing. But he understood the law of the Spirit because the blessing was there. He looked at the animals. He said, black animals will produce white. Brown ones will produce spotted. They said, how will it happen? If you place any image in front of them while they are conceiving, they won't conceive according to their DNA or their background. They will conceive according to what they are looking at. Listen carefully to me. This is how the Spirit operates. All right? You will not function according to what you have. You are functioning according to what you are seeing. It is deception that is telling you is what you have. No, you are only seeing what you have is what is keeping you down. If you start seeing something else, you begin to function, all right, according to that. And what that young man did was every 3 hours, he would look back at that thing. Every 3 hours, he would look at it. Every 3 hours, he would look at it, all right? And there are only very few people on the earth doing that, and they are the ones going up. So let me close by saying something to you. And I'll close here. Defining the word eternal. Because many people say, well, eternal. Right? So that you understand the nature of what we're talking about. Because your life is eternal, your salvation is eternal. In the Greek, all right, is when you go into English, a lot of people call revelation is just English language. The Greek for it, and I studied it, and I have two of the leading professors in the world on New Testament. They've gone home to be with the Lord, right? Which, right, they will not just tell you one word in Greek. They will trace it to the history of the usage of the Greek word by Plato, Aristotle, all right, before the apostles came and they picked it up. The first thing they say about the word eternal is this. Before it even came to the New Testament, because people think that eternal means it is forever. Listen, how could Jesus come and say, I've come to give you eternal life, which means I've come so that you will live forever. You will live forever before Jesus came. You might live somewhere else, but it's forever. Satan and all the demons will exist forever. It is not about forever life. That's not what it is. In fact, what they say at the beginning is that we shall never enter into the full ideas of eternal life until we rid ourselves of the almost instinctive assumption that eternal life means life that goes on forever. That if you don't rid yourself of that, you won't understand what eternal life. In fact, the word eternal cannot be wrapped up in time. Thinking with time, you cannot. Once you bring the concept of time into it, you miss essentially what eternal is. It means that which neither has beginning nor end. It is contrasted with time. It is neither subject to change nor decay. To attach eternity to the created was impossible. So God said, what are we going to do? Because eternity cannot penetrate into the created world. So he created what was called time as a moving image of eternity. The essential point is that eternity is always the same. All right? In it, there is no being created, no becoming. There is no such thing as being older or younger in eternity. There is no past nor future. There is no was or will be eternal, but only that which is eternal. It is the word of deity as contrasted with humanity. In other words, what he's saying to us about our salvation that is eternal, in that it has no beginning or end. He's saying that this salvation, if you are going to relate with it, you have to relate with it as it is. It is not going to become. In other words, in your life, if you are ever saying, I'm going to become something, you are not touching on divinity. You are touching on your humanity. All that you will ever become that you can see now, you must say it is already in existence in your life and operational now for you to partake of the divine nature. So he says, when I give you exceeding great and precious promises, to enter into divinity with it means that you call it into existence as though it is operational in your life now. You are hearing that it's done now. You are seeing yourself that it's done now. If you are waiting for 15 years to go through the promotion exercise to get there, you are wasting your time because you are not touching on God. As far as God is concerned, he said that 1,000 years will crunch everything and make it happen in one day. So when you are operating with divine life, you are saying what another person is saying will take 40 years. You are saying it is done now. You are calling into existence those things that be not as though they are. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, in eternity, never grows older. All right? So, what you're saying is that a 16-year-old boy that has eternal life can be calling into existence what somebody else projects will take 35 years with all the qualification. He says, listen to me, I have eternal life. All this is done in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He doesn't think age is a qualification. If eternal life manifests in a 28-year-old boy, they will change the laws of Nigeria for him to become president, if that's what God has said to him. Which means that eternal life, which means when they were there 40 years in the wilderness and their clothes did not wear out, eternal life. is not that you will live forever. When he says the eternal spirit, the Holy Ghost is the eternal spirit, are you saying that it's the spirit that will live forever while Lucifer or Satan is not eternal? It means he will live. It's not eternal. He's talking about the quality. He's talking about the way we interact with it. Now, understand this salvation is something that is. If you relate with it as something that will become in your life, it will never happen. So it's the nature there he's talking about. It's the quality there, which means that if the life of Jesus is made manifest in your mortal flesh, you will not get older by one day. Now, you say, why are you growing older, even though you have the Holy Ghost? It's because when you run with a child, and the child runs very fast, you say, listen to me, old age is coming. Do you get what we're saying here? All right? When you are talking to people, this you're saying now, you have gone into time. You know, I have about 20 more years to walk. After that, I will relax. You know, my old age, I don't want to. You are calling those things on yourself. Eternal life, if you're operating with it, you say at 90, I'll be as sharp as I'm sharp. I'll be as erect as I'm erect. There will be no, are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that you are seeing everything. Time is no longer an issue you are dealing. So when the mind of a man has taken upon itself the eternal salvation, the language they speak will be hard to understand by a normal person. In other words, Jesus looked at Lazarus, he said he sleepeth. They said, what are you saying? He said he's dead. Is eternity coming? So he said, all right, you are in time, Abby. Okay, he has died. We're going there to wake him up. Because what they were saying was that if he's asleep, we don't have to go. He will wake up by himself. But eternity said, we will go there and wake him up. And how we wake him up, we'll just talk and he will get up. But Jesus saw raising Lazarus from the dead as easy as waking a person up from the bed. Can you have that kind of mind and start relating with people? You'll be hard. You understand what I'm saying? You'll be hard there. So, eternal life. You know, I saw Kenneth Copeland when he came for Bishop Kilbert last month. He entered. When he came to the office, I was shocked at how young he looked for 80 years old. There is no trace that he's 80. Reverend McCankins told me here, he said, I was the MC at his 80th birthday. He said, I said, we've never seen men of God. 500 of the top ministers globally came together for this. We won't see this again until he is 90. He said, yes, and you'll see it when I'm 100, and 110th birthday, and 120, and then I'll go home to be with the Lord. Have you ever said you'll be 120? I'm not saying it won't happen, no. Have you? Have you ventured there? Or you are speaking according to the dictates of medical science. Do you see the difference now? Is it what you read that by the time you are 50, you slow down? You two now start saying, you know, we slow down at 50. Then I said, at 65, you know, you begin to have pains in this area. Then you two, I said, you are imagining now. As you know, they've always said at 65, you are out in that, but now they say it's true now. You are saying those things. Eternal life won't touch those things. Because in eternal life, if you say you are daft, you are daft. That's you are daft. So you dare not say you are daft because what is. So when you see the weakness of I don't understand how it should happen, don't relate with your humanity. That says in my family, you know, everybody, we don't really understand mathematics. We are not good with money and figures. What we are good is just creative arts. Don't say that. Because if you are not good with figures, all your money will disappear if you get any money. You must be good with figures to be able to know how your money is. So don't say that. Look at what can Jesus stand before arithmetic and say, I don't understand. You see what's happening there. This thing has just disturbed all my mind. I just have a headache. When they say 14 plus 58 plus 14 plus 25 plus 14. Let me tell you the vision of the Christian. They put on the screen 102 plus 65 plus 37 plus 42 plus 54 plus 314 plus 44 plus 25 plus 8. What's the answer? He says it. That's the vision of the Christian. Then people say, Rabbi, it's a lie. They had told you the answer before they put it up. So he says, okay, you give me the answer. He says, okay, 313 plus 0.2 plus 214.6 plus 75.8 plus 38.9 plus 777.2 plus 700.3252. What is the answer? And he says it. Do you know what they will do? They will sit down quietly. Who is this Jesus? Are you following what I'm saying here? Who is he that you are talking about? That's when we have started partaking. You know, there's an image inside. Let me tell you. I've tried to look at it. I've struggled to look at it. He says the small one will be as a thousand. The large one will be as a nation. What I'm asking you is this. If you have a church with people that have no needs, what will you be preaching? As far as people are concerned, your church are scattered. So they remove, because there's nothing else. Somebody comes as a nation. Do you know what a nation is? An institution. The small one there is as a thousand. What message are you going to preach? You will know that that is what is called sin consciousness message. That is need consciousness, which means we only know how to preach to people who are weak. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people say, we won't come to church again because their concept of God has ended. I'm a nation. Let's be at home. Do you get what we're saying? And if you haven't conceived that, God can't take you there. Because to take you there is to destroy you. Because if you become a nation, and the reason why you go to church is that we are looking for help, and you are now a nation. So say, oh boy, what are we going to do there? We're no more than the power. We are a nation. Are you following me? That's why before God can bless you with massive things, he must have seen you enter into eternity, have those things, and use those things in his service. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
It's not in time you're discovering what you will do. You should understand that if I have $30 million, you've already distributed it accordingly to where God has spoken. Do you get what I'm saying? You are interacting with eternal life. You get the concept of eternal life. You are operating. You are not here. You are somewhere else operating, which means the more God shows you, the more you pull to your now. The more he shows you, you pull to your now. The more he shows you, you pull to your now. When you burst forth, when you fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on it, people will come from north, south, east, and west and say, Rabbi, show us what you do. So you know how we're going to start this journey? 3 hours. 3 hours. 3 hours. I leave the Holy Ghost to start showing you things. Just be going 3 hours. You are the one that will now start seeing. Are you following one of you? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.